Hi, this is Sam, and welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your drive to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe to get all of your daily and weekly content. For more information about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit lg4square.com. That's LG, the number four, square.com. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Both sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables.
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Jesus came to the servers and told them, "Fill the pots with water, right up to the very brim."
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.
My hour of unveiling my power has not yet come.
Stop turning my father's house into a market.
What do you say about yourself, though?
I am the voice of the one calling to the wilderness. Make straight the way for the
Lord. Things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made.
Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed the name of God's one and only Son.
Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.
Something about the button I just want to press with power. It's so big. And
that was a solid push.
When we start a podcast, it's like, boom! We're currently on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hello there, listener. Welcome to the Barnabas Project. We're here to bring you some encouragement. We're walking through John. We've been going through John for a while, and we will be for a while, because we're using the SOAP model, where we read a passage, and then SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. So we look at a piece of Scripture, what stands out to us, which is our observation, how does it apply, and then we pray. So I'm in the studio with some awesome people today. Let me introduce them. I got Molly. Molly, how are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am great. What are you up to, Molly?
Podcasting.
In life.
Good answer.
You had some stories this morning. You caught me up on some things that happened in your life. Mm. Skateboarding and Buddy the Elf. Mm.
There was an elf in my shower this morning.
Huh?
There was a large, as tall as me, cardboard cut out of Buddy the Elf in my shower this morning, and I almost peed my pants on the spot. It scared me so bad.
Mm. We used to have John Wayne in the office, and we just hide John Wayne in different places, and it scared me every time.
That was Pastor Ted's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who's else? Yeah.
He does love John Wayne.
Yeah.
So I'm also in the studio here. I'm good old Uncle John.
Zach, also here.
Wow.
I got nothing.
Cool.
How you guys doing?
I'm great.
Got any Buddy the Elf stories to share?
No, there's just the Molly version.
Yep.
We can change that.
I'm good.
Well, we're in John, as I mentioned. We're in John 5. We are going to be reading verse 31. I have the NIV today, but listener, join in whatever translation you want. John 5, verse 31. This is Jesus talking in the NIV in my translation. This whole section is red. All in red.
All red.
Depending on what translation or version you might be reading, it maybe isn't going. Do you have your red letter Bible?
Isn't everything you read red?
Oh, geez.
I'm a red letter.
Yes, I do.
What? I'm a red letter Bible kind of guy, but some of the modern ESVs out there don't have it.
Yeah, they don't always do it. But anyway, here we are. Just wanted to preface that because we jump right into it, and it says, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. So right away, we need to know who's talking. Well, it's all in red. So listener, it's all in red. It's Jesus. So if I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the work that the Father has given me to finish, the very work that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of your God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before my Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Okay. So this is Jesus. He is speaking as if he's on trial. And that there's some language that's used in this that direct us to that. But let's talk about scripture. What's some scripture in this that just jumped out to you, that stood out to you? Maybe it's for, because it was encouraging or exciting, or maybe you're just curious. This has a lot of curious phrases. So who wants to start?
I'll go. I think 39 stood out to me. You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scripture points to me. And I think a lot of times, like, we can just, like, look for all the answers in the Bible, but Jesus is saying that's pointing to me, that mm-hmm. the most important thing is that relationship that we have, that back mm-hmm. and forth, that communication.
Yeah.
And I think that's just that deepening of our relationship with him is what the Bible is a great tool, and it's fantastic and it's phenomenal. It's all God, but it's all pointing to him. Yeah. And that's where the eternal life comes from.
No, that's an amazing point, Zach. That's actually an incredible verse right there, because mm-hmm. Jesus is saying right here, if you truly knew the scripture, you would have received yeah. me. And in this, we see that they're not receiving Jesus from the testimony of the scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's a good point.
Yeah, I brought this up in a podcast, I believe, previously, but I was having a conversation with somebody that was struggling because they were kind of doing some untangling in their life, and they realized that the Bible had become like the fourth person of the Godhead to them.
Sure.
Where yeah. they were so focused on just read the word, but they weren't actually really spending time with Jesus. And they had to realize, well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is who my God is. The Bible is to affirm and confirm
yes.
who yep. God is. It isn't to be worshiped on its own.
Yep.
Yeah. So for me, I think there's this underlying theme all the way through this of testimony.
Yeah.
And why does that matter so much? Why does the testimony of scripture matter? Why does the testimony of John the Baptist matter in this? Mm-hmm. And we see this all the way through scripture. And I just couldn't get away from this concept all the way through this testimony matters. Mm-hmm. All this testimony matters. You know, we get people in this, John the Baptist, we've got the testimony of God in this, and we've got the testimony of Moses in a sense that he's mentioning here. And Moses is the one that he's saying is the law, the bringer of the law in this, but still there's the testimony of like you had said, Zach, that if they had truly understood the scripture, the writings of Moses, then they would have received
yes.
Jesus. So I got some verses here just about testimony and witness. Deuteronomy 17:6, on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, the one who is to die shall be put to death. A person shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. Deuteronomy 19:15, this is concerning the law of witnesses. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses shall a charge be established. Mm. So witness, mm-hmm. witness. Yep. And even the verse really that jumps out to me in this is John 5:33, and then on he says, you sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I have received is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice within his light. And then we actually can look back in previous passages in the Old Testament where they talk about John the Baptist being called the lamp, mm-hmm. and Jesus is the light. Psalms 132, there I will make a horn to sprout out from David. So that would be Jesus he's referring to. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. His enemy I will clothe with shame, but on him is a crown that will shine. And then we see even further on in Psalms again, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, mm-hmm. Who keep him with their whole heart. And again, testimony, mm-hmm. testimony matters. The testimony of God is the one that he is holding with really high esteem in this. And mm-hmm. I love that because, again, to what you were saying, Zach, if they had known the scriptures, then they would have understood the testimony of God concerning Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I really like 41 because it's, you have the testimony and then 41, the NLT says, your approval means nothing to me.
Solid.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know that's not a, like, so get wrecked. But I can right. tend to read it like a so get wrecked, but it's deny it all you want.
Yeah.
But the truth prevails because yeah. regardless of whether or not it has your approval, mm-hmm. the test. Yeah.
No, that's good. Yes.
Really, what Molly just deflated.
What he was saying, though, you're right, though. You're like, right. What he was saying in this was there's this, you will receive. You know, from other people in this, like what they have to say matters to you, but mm-hmm. for some reason, my words mean nothing to you. Yeah. And they're seeking approval from each other and not from him.
Yeah.
Yep.
In traditional Jewish law, that's how they would do it. Like you mentioned, Chong, they would always bring in somebody to a witness to testify. It yep. wouldn't just be one person explaining their case. It would be witnesses. But sometimes they would let somebody explain their case, but it was kind of based on their own merit. Like, do we believe this person? Mm-hmm. And we do this too. Like, I'm not sure I trust this person, so I need a third party to verify. I need somebody else to weigh in on this because I don't trust this individual. But here is Jesus saying, like, you have multiple witnesses and you have my own, which should be like, what have I done that you wouldn't believe my testimony? What have I done that you wouldn't believe my witness? And then he also, so he brings himself, he brings John, he brings God's testimony, which is all through the word of God. And even Moses, and says, Moses even wrote about me. So nobody's even accusing you outside of me, mm-hmm. God,
yeah.
Moses, John, those are the accusers saying you're missing the point. You're missing this. And if you really knew, then you would see me for who I am. Mm.
Yeah, it's true. There's like this relation. If you had relationship with the Father, and yeah. he's pointing to relationship in this. If you have relationship with the Father, then you would have received me.
Yeah.
And that's not what we see here. We see a very firm relationship with self,
yep.
yeah. really approval from others. Mm-hmm. And that is not what Jesus is calling forth here. He's calling forth for a true understanding of Scripture, and that Scripture speaks to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you made a really excellent point just now about the testimonies that there would be other witnesses, and that was their tradition. You know, we've been talking a lot about Jewish festivals lately,
yeah.
and one of the ones that actually calls forth this witness idea is Rosh Hashanah, the new year, mm-hmm. the Feast of Trumpets. They would actually, and I don't know if they still do this. This would be worth looking up. People look this up. I'm yeah. curious. Text us. But what they do is they... At least what they did is they would have two people on the walls of Jerusalem, and they would wait for the sun to come up. And when they would see the, or the moon, one of the two, they would wait for a heavenly body to appear in the sky. And then they would usher in the new year, but they had to have the witnesses of two people to yeah, actually
to verify.
Yep,
there it is.
But they still, in a yeah. sense, they still do this. Not, I don't know about the witnesses thing, but they still wait for the appearance of the sun and the moon, I can't remember again, but they wait for the appearance of this before they will actually blow the trumpet and sound yeah. off the new year.
Well, this whole conversation, as we mentioned, there's this courtroom sense because he's talking about witness yeah. and accuser and who's on trial here. And mm-hmm. and then he even says, like, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father.
Yeah.
So he even is turning it on a little bit and saying, like, you disagree with me, but I'm not going to accuse you before the Father. And that's just this whole courtroom scene is really, there's some cultural things happening, but we understand, Jesus is explaining, but as Molly mentioned, he's explaining himself, but also being like, here I am, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
So don't read this as like, he's, you know, you can't handle the truth, pounding his fist in the courtroom and like, I'm not going to accuse you, but you accuse me. I don't really get that vibe here. There's some of this language. But it is really interesting that Jesus is like, here's the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, take it or leave it. And he knows in their hearts, even he acknowledges, like, I know your hearts. You don't even truly love God.
Yeah. Well, and we even see from the previous chapter that his testimony is the testimony that we want. His,
yeah.
Because he's the one that is given the right to judge before the Father.
Yeah.
And so can I just read here from 1 John?
No.
Okay. 1 John 5. And this is such a good verse. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Mm-hmm. Whoever does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony of God has come concerning his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Mm. So again, courtroom.
Yeah.
A courtroom. So Jesus is saying, these people testify of who I am. The scriptures testify. And even earlier on in 1 John 5:6, a really cool scripture that everybody really should dive in and read. This is a fascinating one about the blood and the water and the Spirit testifying about who Christ is. Jesus has received testimony all the way through scripture on who he is. But in the end, when you are standing before the Father, it's Christ's testimony about you that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's powerful. So what is our application to all this?
Well, I think it's just that. Like, we should testify of who Jesus is in our lives. In fact, our lives should show who Jesus is, and that our testimony and our walk with him should point to who he is. Mm-hmm. Because within us, of course, we're like I was just saying in the 1 John, that his testimony should be within us. Mm-hmm. And if our lives are showing that, then that's where we want to be. That's the fruit. That's the life-giving fruit that he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just that testimony. It's just similar to the Bible. It's pointing to Jesus. It's pointing to that relation. It's whether it's from the words or from someone's mouth or just spreading Jesus. Like, I think it's all bringing back a full circle to, we're pointing to Jesus. That's mm-hmm. where the eternal life comes from. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've heard, Cam, you say this a lot, like, I just want to be pointing to Jesus. And that's really mm-hmm. what we're getting at in all of this. That was a lot of words to say. Yeah. In everything you do, we should be pointing to Jesus mm-hmm. in all of the things that we do.
Yep.
And if we're pointing to Jesus, then that is our testimony about him, and then that is actually pointing other people to receive him better.
Yep.
I just have more observation.
Let's do it. What else?
Don't backtrack.
Sorry. One thing I do really appreciate about this is we really like to talk about, like, parable Jesus, speaking in riddles Jesus. Not really. Jesus doesn't. No, no, no.
We get it.
I'm just gonna unravel. I'm gonna start with a thought and just be like, anyway, this is a very direct Jesus.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. Like, as someone who can struggle in just being really direct and making no bones about the thing that you're saying, specifically when it comes to faith, to read this, just laying it out. Your approval means nothing to me. Here's the testimony.
Yeah,
that's good.
Well, I think that ties into our application, because we need to understand that we don't need to act like we're on trial all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I have to, if I can't defend Jesus, then the faith is going to die if I can't convince everybody around me. Because even Jesus is like, I'm living right here. I'm right before your eyes. You're missing me, but you're right. I'm right here. He wants to see everybody saved. We should want to see everybody saved, but we don't need to come at it as if we're on trial and we need to convince everybody all the time, because we should just be living a life that is pointed to Jesus, saying, you want to see Jesus? I'm pointed to him. I'm living for him. I don't need to go into courtroom mode where I need to have my defense and I need to have Christ's defense. I mean, honestly, I don't need to defend Jesus at all. What could I possibly say other than just to live a life that is pointing to him and people will hopefully see him. And I want to see people saved. Of course. And Jesus is wanting these people that he's talking to know him, to come to him for life. But while he's very direct, he doesn't seem like, I'm going to crush you. I'm going to wear you down until you believe. I'm going to convince you. I'm going to win the argument. That doesn't seem like what he's trying to do here. Mm-hmm. He's just saying, here's the evidence. Here's the testimony. Mm-hmm. And it's not about winning an argument. I think sometimes we get caught up in faith as if we need to win the argument.
Sure.
And Jesus is saying, I'm not even here to win the argument because here I am. Like, take it or leave it.
Yep.
And I think that's a really applicable part of this conversation is we point to Jesus. We're called to love him. We're called to testify about him, but we don't need to win.
Yeah.
We're not in a courtroom where we need to win the case because ultimately he will win.
Yeah.
We want to see people know him, but we don't need to win an argument with somebody in order for them to know him because it might actually push them away from knowing the love and grace of God.
This actually reminds me of just some conversations I've had with people where I felt like I had to have this grand argument for Christ. Like I had to be the one that was making his case.
Yeah.
And Jesus like outright says, I don't need you to do that.
Yeah.
I just don't because the scripture points to me. And if you knew the scripture and even cared about it, then you would know who I am.
Yeah.
I love that about Jesus.
And it doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't go on to do great signs and wonders.
Oh yeah.
And that's what we want to see in my life. I want to live a life that shows Jesus when I don't even have to talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately somebody might ask me like, what is that sign and miracle? What is that wondrous thing? What is that joy in your life? Mm-hmm. And then I get to talk about Jesus. But Jesus is saying, I'm testifying by living according to how God, you watch, you're going to see. Yeah, I don't need to try to convince you. You just watch. And that's a really beautiful thing.
Yep.
Hey, Chong, you mentioned you had a scripture to close with.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to 1 John and we're going to be in chapter 5 again. This is further on later and it kind of gives us some more understanding on what we're looking at here. And we're going to be talking about the same author here. This is John, not John the Baptist, but John.
On that, I was so confused as a kid.
Oh, like, yeah.
So there's John the Baptist, and then there's 1 John? And are these all, is just everybody named John in the Bible? I was very confused.
Well, and then Revelation and then, has John, and a lot of people would say that's Elder John. It's not even.
Yeah, there's bit of a debate on what John that is.
Yeah. So let's finish up with this verse, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So we talked about seeking truth in this. We talked about understanding truth. And we talked about the testimony of other people offering truth. And then John says that the Son has come and given us understanding.
Yeah.
So when we are in relationship with Jesus, we have understanding. When we're in relationship with him, we have truth. When we're in relationship with the Father, we have understanding of Jesus and all of these things that we are to be expecting. And it's really his truth and his understanding in all of this that we should be seeking.
Yeah. So let that be our prayer today, listener, that we have understanding and we have truth. We pray that we see it as God reveals it to us, but it's through relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So spend time with Jesus today. That's our encouragement. Spend time with Jesus. He is the truth. He will reveal himself to you. Thanks for listening, and we will be with you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you would like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com, lg4square.com, and you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.